Welcome to the Faithful Fathering Podcast. This is Rick Wirtz, founder and president of Faithful Fathering, where we encourage and equip dads to be faithful fathers and work to reinvigorate the church on the fathering front, to raise a generation of dads that are committed to raising a godly generation in their family. This podcast series, we're talking about a new way of thinking. With Easter behind us, it's easy to just fall back into the regular day-to-day routine. But as Jesus charged his disciples to be thinking more with an eternal perspective than the temporal perspective, we're charging you here through this podcast to be thinking a little bit differently here as we move from Easter to Pentecost, when the tongues of fire landed on the disciples, and in the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they began to change the world. Now, one of my favorite pastors is Pastor Alistair Begg out of a church in Cleveland. And I think I've forgotten the name of the church, so I'll get that right. But he wrote a note here that says, in many ways, this is in his day-to-day, his devotional series, he says, in many ways, we are what we think. Our minds are the root of our actions, and it is through our minds that our affections are stirred. He went on to suggest that as we think about our thoughts, consider three questions. What do we need to be thinking more of? What do we need to be thinking less of or not at all? And what do we need to be thinking a little bit differently about? So that's what we're going to address over the next three segments here. We'll address each of these questions in one segment. And with me in studio today is a dear friend, author, speaker, pastor extraordinaire, and a friend, Mr. Mike Rosas. Mike, thank you again for joining us.
Rick, it's my pleasure. Honored to be here as always.
Well, when we think about what we want to charge men and charge dads to be thinking more of, leadership comes to mind. Yes. First right out of the box. What are your thoughts or your challenges along those lines?
I heard this guy say, if you think twice, you'll be the smartest person in your family. and it's he wasn't speaking to anybody directly, but it's the idea that many times we just take one thought and then we move to the next one. And the reality is that we have to, especially as fathers, the God-ordained leaders of our home, we have to think twice, sometimes three, four, five times. One of the things my wife has graciously and lovingly challenged me on is that I'll take a thought and then I'll leave it and I'll move on to the next thing. And so you can't do that with children. We have to be intentional. And so as leaders, you have to understand that what you do resonates, because as leaders, we resonate. What you do leads, and what you do affects. And so I think when we begin to think again through that perspective, that it's not just my job to provide. It's not my job to not be verbally abusive. No, it's not just don't be verbally abusive. It's be verbally empowering, right? It's not just I have to provide for my job. I have to provide for my children. And for my children, it's more than just finances. And I think the more you think about that whole thing is God set us uniquely, the way our brains work, the way our bodies are formed, to lead families. And so I think it's important that fatherhood is synonymous with leadership.
Right. And that I always think of, dads, you know, the third tenet of faithful fathering is to lead spiritually by example. But I think we tend to lead more culturally by example, don't we?
That's so good.
So when you talk about just providing for your family, that means you're busting it Monday through Friday, maybe Saturday, and then you go to church Sunday. The devil isn't really impressed with that, right? That you go to church one day a week or spend an hour a week in church. But so how would you encourage a dad to move if he's busted right now and listening to us? Man, I have been living culturally. I tell my kids or say things, but what I'm doing, you know, 6 days a week is more promoting cultural values than spiritual values.
You know, and I think that's comes to the renewal of the mind. We have to think again. The majority of us, even though we are believers, many of us act as Christian atheists. You know, we say the prayer and then we go on to live life the way we experienced and think is best. And so what happens with that is the limitations is if you're living up to only what you know, then you're really living within limitations that God didn't set for you. The reality is that our limitations are not what we've accomplished, but what we will accomplish. And so there's more outside of us than is inside. And so the way we access that as fathers is by sitting as sons. One of the things I love about God is when he wanted to reveal himself as a father, he sent the son. Mm-hmm. And so the best way you can learn how to be a father is to sit at the feet of the ultimate father and learn as a son. Say, God, invite him into your life. You know, they can be through reading the Bible, through mentors, through faithful fathering groups. You have all these different ways to hear from other great men, what the Bible calls wise counsel, to see what they have done to become successful in their lives. Because it's not just about that 9 to 5. It's about midnight to midnight. It's that 24 hours and how we utilize that. Because fathering is not in this clean slate. You know, 2 nights ago, there was this horrible storm. And so my wife goes over to check on the kids, and the kids are freaked out under the covers. So my wife invites them into our room, and my 3-year-old son comes, and he is literally completely on my back. He will not leave my back. And so it was hot in the room. I was sweaty. I was frustrated. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was exhausted. I could have said, hey, give me some space. But instead, I understood that he was going through a difficult time and he needed reassurance. Mm. It was some heavy lightning and rain, but what he needed was security. Mm-hmm. And so I let him make me sweat a large part of the night and wrap his arms around me. But I was able to feel his love, and I was able to communicate love. And that wasn't within my 9 to 5 or my 5 to 9 for being a father. And that's the thing with fatherhood, is it's 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And so if what you're doing work-wise, friend-wise, entertainment-wise is affecting your ability to be a faithful father, then you have to really question those things and remove, even if it is a job. Rick speaks about that at length, doing what it takes, because God is not going to ask you, hey, were you the best employee you could be? He's going to ask you, were you obedient in what I asked you to do?
And of course, you always say, you know, dads need to realize that kids catch what they have, not what they say.
Right? Yes.
So they catch what you do.
Brilliant.
So, you know, your visual with your son, your physical touch and support is reflective of our Heavenly Father holding us through all the valleys that we go through, of course. So that's a beautiful analogy. In the Midwest, I love those storms. I never slept any better than a storm. But that's not necessarily with a kid that is just learning more about that. But that's it's a beautiful step. Another area where dads, I think, that comes to mind that dads need to be thinking more of is Scripture.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? What's your encouragement for dads to be thinking more along the lines, even in internalizing Scripture, reading Scripture? How do you encourage dads to be thinking more about the Word of God?
You know, the Bible has to be it has to be everything. The reality is, if you take it as a good book, then you'll read it when you want to be good. If you think about God in terms of church, then really your mind and affections are only set on Him on Sunday mornings. If God's Word is not intrinsically everything to you, He's either Lord of all or He's not at all. And so it's important that we understand that the Scriptures are meant to form our life. They're not, it's not a book on morality. It is the basic instructions before leaving earth. And so it's important for us to take the reality of what the Scriptures are and form our life based on that. Like Jeremiah and the potter, it's our job to be pliable as clay and to put ourselves in the hand of the potter. Well, how do you do that? By sitting at his feet and letting his words wash you and renew your mind. Because the reality is, we live based off the experiences that we've lived through and the things that we've learned, be it in high school, college, and beyond. And so reality is that the Bible has to become an educational book. I heard this theologian say, and I thought it was so profound. He said, sometimes it would be better if we read the Bible as a fiction book rather than a nonfiction. And he said, the reality is not so much that it's fake, but because when you read a fiction novel and you read this house on 123 Woodville, you know that that number is there for a reason. That street name is there for a reason. He said every word in the Bible is inspired. So when you understand the subtle nuances of what they named their tribes in the Old Testament, if you understand these things, then it brings a greater revelation. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make this boring line of genealogy, but it has God conveying a story of his grace to humanity that we can learn from today. And so when you begin to read the Bible as a book for life rather than just a good book, then it becomes life. And I think for fathers, we are good at what we're obsessed with, right? We're all sports fans. And, you know, you think about a Kobe Bryant, and Kobe Bryant was successful because he was obsessed with basketball. So if you want to be a good father, you're not going to be great unless you become obsessed with it. You're not going to be a great Christian unless you become obsessed with Christ. And so I challenge you, read the book, not to get to the end of the chapter, but to get to know the author. Because when you know his heart, you'll reflect his image more.
You know, that was my charge from a pastor years ago. He said, asked me if I knew Jesus. And he said, I said, well, I'm here every Sunday. He said, that's not what I asked. I said, do you know, I've been baptized. That's not what I asked. Do you know Jesus? Have you read his book?
Yes.
And of course, in, when you read the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then the Word became flesh.
Yes. You know,
and that and walked among us. So I think that's that was my wake-up verse along with others. What was there a particular verse or passage or book that just really lit your world up when you first read Scripture?
You know, I think when I first read Scripture, obviously the story of Jesus, his life told was very powerful to me. But I really love the Old Testament. Being like most men, you know, brave knights and soldiers at heart, when I read of these wars, like it would excite me. So reading about the life of David, those type things really inspired me. Maybe because I was a creative, I would picture it, envision it as a movie in my head. And so I wasn't just reading words off a page. I was envisioning these things as real life retellings, because that's what they are. They're not stories. Some of them are parables, but for the most part, the majority aren't fables. They're real stories. Mm-hmm. So I envisioned them as that in my head, and they became movies. Mm-hmm. They became better than anything Hollywood could produce. And so I wanted to know about the quote-unquote actors. I wanted to know the storyline. And so the more I saw that, the more I saw this overarching message of God, and I fell in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the reality is take the words of God in context, but do it in a way that will connect with you, where you can remember it and where it ministers to you, and then allow yourself to be formed into the image of Christ, which is God's hope.
Sure. And I think it has a lot to do with where you are in life as well. I mean, yes. Every time you read Scripture, it's a little bit different. I know I was in search of a father. And when I read John 20:17, where he told Mary upon resurrection, you know, don't hold on to me. I have not yet returned to my father and your father, yeah, to my God and your God. I realized right there, I've got a father.
Yeah.
He's daddy, right? And,
yes,
and that's what we have to live into. And then the other one that always hit me was Ephesians 5, where it says we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
And once you realize you're supposed to lay your life down for your bride, everything else pretty well falls into perspective.
Yes.
That I, you know, because I thought I knew something about love, you know, when I married almost 44 years ago now. but I love her more today than I did then, because the Lord, through his word, is teaching me how to love, right?
Oh,
and what's your encouragement for dads that have never cracked the Bible, maybe aren't really all that motivated to read such a big book? What would be your encouragement to challenge dads to maybe that's something they could commit to in this Pentecostal challenge as we look to a new way of thinking between now and Pentecost? What words of encouragement would you have for a man that has never cracked the Bible?
Yeah, you know, it can definitely be intimidating. 66 books, 30,102 verses, 1,189 chapters.
With no notes, Dad.
but everything is a discipline before it's a delight. And so if you discipline yourself in reading it daily, it will in very short form become a delight. I would challenge you, obviously, I'm obsessed with Jesus. So start in the Gospels, hear the Father's heart, see the Father in human bodily form. And once you read Jesus, once you become obsessed with him, then the other 62 books of the Bible, Jesus will leap out of the pages. And so I know sometimes we can be either history buffs or be bored by them. And so once you know who Jesus is, you know his heart, his intention, you know his mission, then you read the other 62 books, you understand it may be divided into Old Testament and New Testament, but it's one book about one main character, and that's Christ.
Amen. Well, that's a terrific. You know, what you didn't mention was that, you know, the Gospel of Mark is a small book.
Yes.
So when you're looking at the big book, you can,
yes, the Gospel, mini books, yes.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all small books, Dad. So you can start there and rock and roll. Then you won't be able to put it down.
Yeah, especially Mark. Mark has 16 chapters, but it is one event after another. Mm-hmm. It's like a fast-paced Mission Impossible movie. It's incredible. I love it.
Now, one other dimension I always think about for us as men to think more of in a positive way is the worldview that we're living under, a secular worldview or a biblical worldview. Any suggestions or thoughts in as we talk with dads that are maybe caught up in this secular worldview and don't even realize it?
Yeah, the first thing is you won't have the correct worldview if you don't have the view of the one who created the world. And so God's worldview is the only correct one. I love this quote by Martin Luther King where he says, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it's bent towards justice. Jesus says it this way. He says, you fall on the rock and are broken, or the rock falls on you and crushes you. What that means is you have no choice. You either are formed by it or you are crushed by God's truth. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're an unbeliever. It does not matter. Why? Because his truth is absolute. And so what happens is that when we take our thoughts, even our questions and our doubts, to his worldview, then we see what's true. We see what sticks. And so you don't have to know all the answers to all the questions, but you do have the book that has that. And so I challenge you, get lost in that. You know, maybe you dropped out of school, or maybe you got a master's degree. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you take what's best now. I had a friend say, we do the best with what we know, and now that we know better, we do better. And so God gives you the opportunity, regardless of your past worldview, to have the correct worldview by having the view of the world who made of the one who made the world.
When you deal with men that are caught up in the secular, how does that delineate? How do you sensitize a man to say, you can't just say, hey, you're under a secular worldview, why don't you get out of it?
Yes.
What does a secular worldview even look like, and why should we be sensitive to it?
You know, one of the questions I ask is it working?
Hmm.
Because the reality is God's truth works. Like Martin Luther King said, the arc is long, but it bends towards justice.
Mm.
And so the reality is we can deceive ourselves, but you know when you're deceiving yourself. And so I will ask, basically in talking with somebody who is hungry, right? You can't teach somebody who doesn't want to learn. But somebody who does want to learn, I challenge them and say, is it working? Right? Because if it's not working, the reality is in business, they don't care if you worship God or you worship Satan, as long as it brings you success. They'll pay for the class. They'll go to the master class. And so is it working? Well, if it's not working, then let's try another way. And the reality is that's when we bring in Christ. Because for you to tell somebody, hey, this Jewish guy that lived for 33 years, 2,000 years ago, can change your life, it's so radical. People aren't going to believe that. So there has to be a power to the punch, right? There has to be a place where there's proof to what you say. And so what I love about God is that he confirms his word, what the Bible says, with signs and wonders. And so as you look at the arc of humanity, you see God's word coming to pass over and over and over again. And so the good thing about the Bible is that it has so many proof of concepts that you can bring to humanity, that one of the great gateway openers is saying, is it working for you? Well, if it's not working, then it opens them up to get new information.
When you talk about a new way of thinking again, the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is you have to be under the influence of the Word of God, which means you have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But what would you, are there any final tips or suggestions that you would have for a dad to say, you know, let's make that shift. Let's get out of this secular worldview and move into a biblical worldview. What would be steps 1, 2, 3 for that?
Yeah, you know, if you are in a secular worldview, worldview and things aren't working, I would challenge you to submerge yourself. Number one, in the Word. Number two, in a biblical community. Because how do we learn things in today's day and age, right? We go to if you're secular, science, which is other humans testing theories and seeing them play out. Or B, you go to a university or fraternity or fill in the blank, this community of people that have tried things out, theories, and they have seen that side of them, right? And so the idea is we are inviting you into a place where you have a book called the Bible that is an educational book, and to a community called the church that has other men and women around you who have tested the biblical theories and found them to be truths. And so the way you're going to get a true taste of a Christian worldview or of the right worldview is to immerse yourself in the teachings and the community. And so the best thing to do is I would say prop open a Bible and read it. And then put yourself in a local Bible teaching community where the pastor preaches on the Bible in context, and where you have a community of people that you can ask questions with over coffee or over lunch, and you can get answers in a safe space where you'll be loved and not judged.
Fantastic. Well, there you go, Dad. That's a tremendous challenge to you in this new way of thinking leading up to Pentecost, to be the leader the next generation needs to see, to get to know Jesus by reading his book, and to begin living under this biblical worldview that we're called to live into. Accept the challenge and start a new way of thinking, living into that new way of thinking leading up to Pentecost. That's the dad you're called to be, and that's the dad the next generation needs to see. God bless. Godspeed.